We're going to talk about why narcissists disappear, what it means, and how you should deal with it. Have you ever had a narcissist just up and disappear on you? How did that feel? I remember my ex-husband used to do that. He would be coming home every day, everything would be normal, and then about once or twice a month, he just wouldn't come home one day. I wouldn't know where he was. We didn't have cell phones. We were broke, and it was a long time ago, and quite honestly, I would just be completely at a loss for where he was. I would try to figure it out. I had no one I could call and ask. He didn't really have a lot of friends. He would just be gone. He would usually come home late that night, sometimes the next morning. I would never know where he had been, and he would always be drunk, and God knows what else was going on with him. He would have also stolen all the money out of our bank account, which back then, holy crap, was bad, because even though we didn't have very much money, he would almost inevitably be the rent money or the food money that I needed to pay the bills or feed the kid with. So that was a painful, difficult thing, and it's ultimately one of the reasons I ended up leaving him. So if you're dealing with a narcissist and you're dealing with someone who continues to disappear on you every time you turn around, they pull the disappearing act, they vanish, they're out of sight, there are some things to remember.
It's human to want to be hoovered, because to be hoovered means that even though we know they're messed up people, even though we know they have issues and things are wrong with them, it means that they care enough about us to try to suck us back in, right? Well, kind of. What they really want from us is our supply, as we know, and they don't really want us personally. They want what we do for them or what we can do for them, right?
Hoovering usually begins after the devalue and discard phases, when the silent treatment kind of stops giving the narcissist pleasure.
Sometimes when someone isn't hoovering you, it's because you are a secondary supply to them in some way. What that means is that either there's another primary supply, another wife or husband or girlfriend or boyfriend, or that person doesn't consider you a primary person in their life. So if, say, it's a parent who doesn't hoover you back in, it's because they have probably been hanging out with another sibling or with another person who's sort of replaced you in their mind.
Stonewalling, in a nutshell, is a manipulation tactic often used by narcissists where they refuse to communicate or cooperate with you to resolve any issue.
If I were to ask you, what is the opposite of love? What would your first response be? Hate? Here's the thing. It's not really hate. The opposite of love is actually indifference. And when someone ghosts you, you are experiencing indifference, or at least it feels that way. The emotional effects of this are incredibly devastating, and especially for people who already have low self-esteem, which, as you know, the narcissist has worked very hard to make sure that you have low self-esteem. Am I right? The second reason that a narcissist might not hoover you is because they're temporarily with a new supplier, because they've already found a new supply who is keeping them engaged at the moment. That doesn't mean they won't come back later, though, so be aware of that.
Now, this can be seen in both the way they ignore you and in their body language, and the narcissist might simply just refuse to engage in resolving the issue at all.
I mean, don't you at least deserve a basic conversation explaining why this happened to you? Well, the fact of the matter is, those people who do ghost, narcissists in this case, are doing so because they don't want to deal with your reaction to them saying, I'm out of here. You may have already been hoovered and just not be aware of it. See, sometimes the hoover exists only to get supply, and they're not actually trying to bring you back into the relationship. They're only hoovering you to get them back involved so that they can get something from you. Whether that's money, sex, time, whatever. You may have been hoovered and not even been aware of it because all they were doing was fighting with you or yelling at you after you went no contact.
Do you ever feel exhausted or confused because you aren't even really sure what you did wrong? Well, you might be getting stonewalled, also known as the silent treatment.
They're avoiding their own discomfort by walking away from you and not talking about it. They aren't thinking about how it's going to make you feel, and they don't really care. Sometimes they don't want to bring you back in. Sometimes they simply want to get the supply from you and move on. Unfortunate, but true.
Toxic narcissists have a tendency to demonstrate a pattern of self-centered, arrogant thinking and behavior.
Somebody will be moving along, having a life with a family, and then all of a sudden, boom, their significant other disappears, drops off the planet. If they want to resume the formal relationship, the official relationship with you, that's what we see as the hoover. But the hoover isn't always about the formal relationship. Sometimes the hoover is really about getting positive feedback from you, getting you to take care of them, again, giving you some sort of supply. It seems to be related to our current culture. That's what the narcissist tells him or herself. This is what everybody does. There's almost always a double life factor with a narcissist, whether it's cheating related or otherwise. But why do they do it, and how do they do it? What's it all about? And sometimes the hoovering is just about fact-finding. They're just looking for information about you that they can use against you in court or in a public court of opinion for a smear campaign. So be aware of that. If we're honest with ourselves, we can admit that most narcissists seem to be looking for something. They're looking for supply. They're looking for love. Well, maybe a different kind of love than we're looking for, but they're looking for something, right? Sure, they might say they want love and caring and hope and all this stuff, but in reality, they feel very uncomfortable if they ever find anyone to love them, which is probably part of the reason you ended up where you are right now.
Not to mention their extreme lack of empathy and consideration for other people.
Being in love with a narcissist is difficult, but for a narcissist, being in love isn't really the same as it is for other people. If they were really digging into it, if they were really trying to feel what love is all about, they would have to admit that they're terrified of it. And the reason, in my opinion, that they're so terrified is they're afraid that if they allow themselves to let go and love you for real, you might leave them. Another thing to consider is the possibility that the hoovering has been done by a third party and you just didn't realize it. Maybe the narcissist's mother, father, best friend, sibling, whatever, came to you and talked to you about the narcissist and somehow drew information from you, and that may have been their attempt at a hoover. The hoovering could have been about finding information about you for, you know, like I said, a smear campaign or something like that.
Narcissists also tend to really need to be admired and treated differently than other people.
Almost every narcissist that I've ever known has had a serious fear of abandonment.
They see themselves as more important than you or anyone else.
And so they tend to doubt your authenticity. Even if you've been with them for 35 damn years, they tend to pretend that you're not authentic or believe that you're not authentically there for them. The hoover may have come through a third party inadvertently, and you just may not have realized that that was what was happening in that moment. They devalue you because you love them, because they know they can never live up to anyone's expectations. They also think that other people can't live up to theirs.
Narcissists are often described as being kind of full of themselves, really cocky, manipulative, selfish.
And the truth is, as we've talked about before, narcissists, they project their negative qualities onto you.
They're patronizing, and of course, we all know they're demanding.
We can look at this from a few different angles. First of all, love feels unsafe to a narcissist, and that's why it seems like they're always looking for a better supply. It's possible that you haven't given the narcissist the opportunity to hoover, and if you haven't, good for you. Well, if you haven't because of no contact. If you've been contacting them constantly and trying to get in touch with them, they may be overwhelmed by your attempts to contact them, and therefore they may be avoiding you. So, not to offer any advice on getting hoovered, but if the situation changed and you were suddenly not contacting them, that could totally flip the whole deal for you. I don't want you to do that, though, because, listen, I mean, I do want you to not contact them, but not with the intention of getting them to hoover you, because being hoovered means being sucked back into the same toxic mess you were just in. And in my opinion, if you stick it out, you might actually be able to get into a healthy relationship at some point in your life where you can be loved and treated with respect and treated like you deserve to be treated. Imagine that. They prefer to be admired because to them, admiration feels safe. It's earned. You see, it's earned, whereas love is given, even though in my opinion, love is also earned a little bit. But since the narcissist earns admiration through, in their opinion, their different, you know, experiences and their different credentials and their different accomplishments, they feel a lot safer being admired. And that is part of the reason that some narcissists do the whole double life thing. They want to seek attention, as we all know, but also admiration from a wide variety of people. They would rather have a whole bunch of people admire them than be loved by one person.
This way of thinking and behaving literally affects every area of the narcissist's life, including work, friendships, family, and even romantic relationships.
The fact is that narcissists live in a big, fear-filled mess of a world.
This is exactly why and how the narcissist is so capable of enacting the stonewalling technique in the first place, and how they can do it with so little concern for the profound effect that it can have on the people they're using it against.
They're always afraid of being exposed. They're always afraid of being abandoned, and they're always afraid of losing control. This leads them to kind of live in a constant fight or flight mode.
Just to be clear, when a narcissist stonewalls you, the purpose is emotional manipulation, psychological control, and ultimately to get what they want.
So they're always on the defense. They're always unable to let their guard down. And as a result, they don't really find themselves attaching to people in a healthy way, which means that inevitably they destroy the relationship.
The silent treatment is a manipulation tactic where the narcissist will stop talking to you for days, hours, weeks, even months in some cases, in order to punish you for something they think you've done wrong or some perceived slight.
Some people will say it feels like a punch in the gut or in the face. Some people feel insulted. There's a huge lack of closure that happens with this. I hear this from a lot of people. Eventually, you can move on, but of course, your self-esteem is completely pushed into the ground before that happens. In some ways, the worst part of it is you never get broken up with. You never get the closure. You realize that that person didn't even consider you worthy of a conversation. It's devastating.
It can cause serious emotional and psychological damage, especially if you don't realize what's happening.
Another reason you're not getting Hoovered, it just might be too early in the relationship, or lack thereof, too early in the breakup period. Why does it feel so bad to go through this? Well, I'm going to tell you something really interesting about the human brain right now. Being rejected in a dating situation or any kind of social situation, it actually activates the same part of your brain as physical pain. Studies tell me that you can actually reduce emotional pain with Tylenol. What about that?
Believe it or not, this is just one of the many signs of gaslighting and emotional abuse that you might notice if you are in a toxic relationship with an abusive narcissist.
In addition to this link between biological pain and emotional pain, there are certain specific factors that contribute to psychological stress that happens in this case. For example, being ghosted gives you no idea how you're supposed to react. I mean, it's completely ambiguous. You don't know to be worried if something happened to this person. You don't know if they're hurt and lying in a hospital bed. You don't know if you should be angry or upset. You don't know if they're just suddenly busy. You don't know what happened to them. And because you don't really know what happened, your brain doesn't know how to react.
Stonewalling is what we call it when someone stops speaking to you and or recognizing your presence.
Being connected to other people has always been important to the human survival. This goes all the way back to the cave person days. In order to survive, we needed to have a group of people. We needed to have a mate. We needed to have people we were close to. Because of that, our bodies, our minds have developed a system that watches for social cues. We monitor our social environments without even knowing it, to look for the cues to tell us how to behave. Because our social cues are happening around us and we are empaths, we are very hypersensitive to those social cues, we would normally know how to behave accordingly. But because of the fact that we don't know what happened to this person when they went away from us, they ghosted us, we don't know how to act. And that messes with our heads in a big way. It creates a sense of emotional distortion or dysregulation. We feel out of control.
In some cases, the narcissist will use the silent treatment as part of the disappearing act. Here's an example of how the silent treatment kind of happens in a relationship. So our couple is going to be called Jack and Jill. Jack's a narcissist. Jill is his victim. Lately, she's noticing that he's going out all the time. He's not responding to her when she calls him. She feels really upset, neglected, anxious. So she does what most everyone would do, and she tries to talk to him about it during the next time they're together. Well, at that point, he pretty much tells her she's full of crap, overreacting. He says, "I'm done. I'm going out. That's it." He leaves. He goes out with his friends. He gets drunk. She tries texting him. He sees the texts but does not respond to them. Later on, she brings it up again, and he basically ignores her, gives her the silent treatment, doesn't respond to her. And at this point, she begins falling. She's falling. She is getting sicker. She is getting more upset. She is feeling more alone. And he keeps going out and getting drunk. So she decides she's going to try something new. She starts Googling stuff. She comes up with this amazing idea, and she thinks, you know what? Maybe this is really going to work. I can talk to him. I can fill him in. I figured out this is exactly what he needs to hear. So she's got a plan. But will it work? She isn't sure. So the next day, Jill decides she's going to have a discussion with Jack, and she thinks he's going to see the light. Very quickly, she realizes this doesn't happen, and she's back in tears. Meanwhile, Jack has nothing to say about it. He's quiet, confused, you know, innocent. Next thing you know, he's on Facebook talking about how terrible his life is, and all of his little flying monkeys are comforting him and feeling sorry for him. And meanwhile, here's Jill over here holding the responsibility for this quote-unquote problem in their relationship. This is the silent treatment.
Like I said, they may be preoccupied, they may be doing other things and not ready to Hoover yet, so it may just be coming still. Sometimes it takes them a while. I've seen people be Hoovered 10 years later. I don't think there's any sort of happy medium on this one. Although it does tend to happen early in the breakup period, within days or months, there are those who don't do it right away who do it later.
In case you aren't aware, the silent treatment is just another way that the narcissist attempts to control you. It is a form of emotional abuse, and it's usually used by narcissists or people with narcissistic tendencies. It is all about putting the narcissist in the position of being in control of the situation, and it's designed to help the narcissist make you shut your mouth, as in to avoid you asserting yourself or having any opinion whatsoever. In some cases, they do it in order to increase the conflict, make it more difficult for you, avoid resolving the conflict because that makes you uncomfortable and they like that feeling. Sometimes it's about not taking personal responsibility or not making a compromise. And in many cases, it's about punishing you for something that they think you did wrong, like a perceived ego slight, Of course, what happens is very often exactly what they want to happen. That's, they get a reaction from you and they feel like they are in control of you.
They refuse to engage in communication with you in response to some conflict or problem that they see or have with you and or your relationship.
You probably in general don't even enjoy conflict. So during the time that the narcissist is being silent, you're probably trying really hard to get in touch with them, to figure out how to fix what happened, try to make them understand you. But of course, this is generally met with contempt, disdain, more silence, completely ignoring you, whatever. And basically, this makes you feel like you're nothing, like you're so insignificant that you don't matter, or that you and your issues become less and less real, more and more non-existent for the narcissist. Of course, that makes you feel like you're not good enough, like you have nothing to offer, like everything's your fault. And before you know it, you might find yourself apologizing to the narcissist, even though clearly you're not the one that should be apologizing.
We also call stonewalling the cold shoulder. It's a form of avoidance that in theory accomplishes nothing other than making the situation harder and more difficult to deal with and escalating it.
Most narcissists are about as emotionally mature as a toddler or maybe up to a 5 or 6 year old child. They kind of pout. They don't want to play with their friend in the sandbox. They fight with their friends on the playground. They decide they don't want to share their toys, whatever. It's the same kind of thing. And just like a 5-year-old, a narcissist acts just like a child emotionally. They might refuse to talk with you, angrily storm off, and then you are left feeling like, what in the heck just happened? I'm confused. I'm rejected. I don't understand what the heck just happened. It's the same deal with the child on the playground. But in this case, since the narcissist gets to decide whether or not they're going to talk to you or give you a quote unquote chance, well, then there's this false but strong sense of control. So the narcissist will then demand that you apologize for whatever it was that you may have done, some BS made up transgression, or maybe just the fact that you had the nerve to, I don't know, set a boundary or ask for equal treatment. Sometimes this makes the narcissist want to abandon you, and then you start the discard phase. And this is when you might start actually presenting an ultimatum and say, look, this is it. I need to know, yes or no. So then at that point, the narcissist might decide to end the relationship rather than actually admit being abandoned, because they might think, well, now you've set this ultimatum and you're saying you're going to leave if we don't fix this, and so I'm just going to leave you instead.
It might also be that you're just not coming up on their radar because you're intentionally steering clear of them and staying with your no contact, in which case, kudos to you, my friend. Ghosting doesn't just ask you to question the relationship that you were just in, but it also causes you to question yourself, and this is the worst part of it. You ask yourself, why didn't I see this coming? What could I have done to be a better judge of character? I was too smart to miss this one. What did I miss? What did I do to make it happen? How do I not let this happen to me again in the future? Should I just never trust anybody again? It's really one of the most basic psychological systems we have in place as human beings, and it helps us to not only monitor our own standing in the world, but also it affects our feelings of self-worth, our feelings of self-esteem, our ability to believe that we're worth anything in the world.
Logically, you as the victim will become resentful and you'll become less interested in resolving the issue.
When we're rejected, our self-esteem goes to the ground. It drops tremendously quickly. That makes us feel like we don't belong anywhere. It makes us feel alone. If you have experienced ghosting, especially if you've experienced it more than once, this is something that is intrinsically connected to your own personal psychological self.
But when you're dealing with a toxic relationship that involves a narcissist, it's so much more than that. It's so much more than it seems.
It might take you longer to get through this than it would someone who had higher self-esteem, because you're going to have less of those connections. The neurotransmitters aren't going to be connecting like they should be. You have less of the natural opioid painkiller stuff released in your brain, see? And after a rejection, this plummets. And especially for people who have lower self-esteem, it's incredibly painful. And like we talked about earlier, the narcissist has worked really hard to make sure your self-esteem is out on the ground.
So is the silent treatment a form of abuse? Well, yeah, it is. It's a passive-aggressive form of emotional abuse.
Ghosting is like the silent treatment on steroids. And psychiatrists, psychologists, mental health professionals, they're going to tell you that this is like the ultimate form of emotional cruelty. It basically leaves you powerless and gives you no closure. You can't ask questions. You can't find out what was going on. You can't get any sort of information that would help you to process this experience effectively on an emotional level.
It is used as a way to manipulate you and control you. And it can also be used as part of a strategy for psychological abuse that can cause complex post-traumatic stress disorder, or CPTSD, in you or other victims over time.
It stops you from being able to react in any healthy way at all, and it prevents you from expressing yourself, your emotions, from being heard. It's really important that you can do that in order to maintain self-esteem.
Not only is it emotionally exhausting, but getting the silent treatment, getting stonewalled, makes you feel like you're completely worthless, and it can make you feel like you're losing your mind.
There's not a lot you can do. You can play games, you can try to teach the narcissist that you're better in some way, or you're different in some way, or you lost weight or whatever, but that's not going to matter. Until the narcissist wants to hoover you, they won't. And in fact, if they think that you want them to, they're less likely to do so. I mean, the fact is that regardless of what the narcissist intended to do, they ghost you because they're being passive aggressive. Whether they know it or not, they're going to leave psychological scars on you from doing this. Obviously, they don't really care if they leave scars on you. They just want to make sure that whenever they're ready, they can come hopping back into your life. And that might be part of the reason they ghost. How do you move forward? What do you do next? The first thing you have to remember is that when someone does ghost you, it literally says not one thing about you personally. It has nothing to do with who you are. It has nothing to do with how lovable you are.
Most experts are going to tell you that ideally this would be a two-word answer, no contact. But in real life, things don't always work ideally, and people sometimes need to live with narcissists for various reasons and various times.
I suggest that you put your head up, stand up, and you take your life back. And you look into yourself and you see what it is that you love about the world. What do you love about your life? What can be better? What can you change? And work on making your life better. Work on making yourself better. Fact is, you're lovable, my friend. You're worthy. And even though it feels like somebody walking away from you like that means you're worth nothing, that's not true. It really says a lot about the person who did the ghosting. It says a lot about the narcissist in your life. It shows they don't have the courage they need to deal with the issue of walking away.
It's really important that you recognize that while many people have times when they need to retreat to think about things, someone who really cares about you is never going to use this abusive tactic to punish you.
They don't want to deal with the discomfort of saying goodbye to you. They don't want to give you the opportunity to say goodbye to them or to say your truth to them.
This is not a tactic that a healthy person would use to manipulate you. Normal people, when they're caught in a lie, they don't give you the silent treatment and they don't stonewall you. But narcissists most definitely will. This should be a red flag for you right away.
Either they don't understand it or they just don't give a damn. In either case, you're left hanging, wondering what to do, right?
So whether they recognize it consciously or not, narcissists are wired to sort of push your buttons in order to get what they want from you. Now, you might wonder which button they're trying to push when they just go silent, right? And you might be surprised to find out that it's really not at this point about making you crazy from lack of communication or simple boredom. Rather, it's more about playing on your own worst fears. And I'm betting, if you're like everyone else on the planet, that one of your worst fears is the fear of being alone in the world with no one to help or support you, or even to just be there for you. And I'm guessing that if you're currently involved with, or you were previously involved with, a narcissist, you're probably thinking about all kinds of little things a narcissist did in the past in order to play on your fears, at least in hindsight.
But what it all comes down to is that their message is, I don't have what it takes to be a real live grown-up. I'm not mature. I'm not responsible. I don't care how you feel.
So by verbally and emotionally cutting you off, the narcissist sort of offers you a taste of what life might be like without their little charming awesomeness. Catch that little bit of sarcasm there?
But here's my thing. If somebody ghosts you, I would consider it an opportunity, especially if that person is a narcissist, an opportunity to take back your life and start doing things the way you want to do them. I know it's painful, and I know you're sitting here going, what the hell are you talking about, Ange? But I'm telling you right now, if you are ghosted by a narcissist, I want you to change your mind. I want you to consider it a blessing.
So that's why the narcissist ignores and belittles and devalues you, because it plays on your fear of being alone, the fear of abandonment. It is their hope that by enacting this silent narcissistic rage against you, they will force you into submission and into being the good little narcissistic supply they need.
Think about all the people who are still fighting to get away from a narcissist for 30 years, 40 years, and they're still stuck there because the narcissist keeps them in that little ball. If you've been ghosted, I want you to look at this as an opportunity and a gift. I want you to block the narcissist. I want you to proactively become no contact.
Plus, the silent treatment works particularly well on sensitive, empathic people who are quite often quite attractive to narcissists, because we're wired to respond to and attempt to soothe the emotions of the people around us, especially when we love them.
I don't want you to tolerate one bit of this from anybody. I want you to use it as an opportunity to move forward and away from the narcissist. Even if you know they're coming back in 3 or 4 days, don't tolerate it. This is unacceptable behavior for anyone in a relationship. Make yourself the person that you want to be, the person you've always wanted to be, regardless of what the narcissist thinks, feels, or says, because none of that in the long run is going to matter to you. What really matters right now, my friend, is you and your ability to be happy. You deserve to be happy, and you don't need some narcissist to tell you when you're allowed to be happy and when you're not.
Listen, you don't have to take the silent treatment lying down.
So when you put it all together, what it all comes down to is that the narcissist is mostly concerned with what the narcissist wants. And when you feel so desperate to know where they are at every moment, that's like supply for them. If you call their phone 150 times and you text them 150 times and they're stressing out and, oh my gosh, this woman won't leave me alone or this man won't leave me alone, that's supply for them. Any emotion that you give them is supply for them. So I'm going to tell you something in my personal opinion. If I knew then what I know now, what I would do in a situation like that is I would not react to it. If you want them to stop treating you that way, stop reacting to them when they do that. Act like you didn't even notice they were gone. Act like you have no emotion about it. Do not respond emotionally. It's going to be difficult, nearly impossible. Do your best. That will be the only way that you can potentially change the behavior.
In the end, remember that if possible, the best option is to get away from this person and move forward. With that being said, we all know that sometimes that's easier said than done, and everyone has their own reasons for the choices that they make and for why we don't just leave if it's so bad already.
And the truth is, if you're dealing with someone like this on a regular basis, maybe you need to think about moving on and stepping away from that person and even just go to be somewhere safely without them, by yourself or with just your kids, so that you can heal and be with people who actually do deserve someone like you in their life. And maybe that means you just love yourself a little harder than you ever have. It's worth a try.
Make no mistake. The silent treatment is abuse. It's painful and it makes you miserable. As someone who is likely codependent, you might feel like you need to fix whatever it is that you've done wrong in order to get the narcissist to sort of be nice to you again. But the truth is that this is exactly what the narcissist wants, for you to bend over backward trying to appease them, and all the while, they have no intention of allowing that to happen. In fact, they will only stop using the silent treatment when it is convenient for them to do so, and or they need or want something else from you. But if you work on your self-esteem and you learn how to set proper boundaries and you recognize that you are, in fact, worthy of love, worthy of respect, well, you're already on your way to learning how to disarm the narcissist's silent treatment. You don't just have to accept it, and you don't just have to carry around false hope that one day the narcissist will change. Chances are they won't.
Take care of yourself, know that you're not alone, and know that you have support if you need it. Join the Spanily, let's get connected.
The next time you're confronted with this icy, hateful, silent treatment for yet another perceived infraction, I want you to come back here and watch this video again. And I want you to remember that this is a game of control. The narcissist believes they can control you with their lack of communication and their lack of concern for your well-being. But the only way you can take back the power here is to refuse to respond. You have to just go on about your life as though the narcissist isn't there. Or do whatever you would normally do and blatantly ignore their behavior no matter how PO'd they get. That means don't send texts to the narcissist trying to reason with them or trying to get back with them. Or get them to get over it. Don't post sad statuses on your Facebook page for people to look at. It'll just fuel them even further. And don't let the narcissist know that they are affecting you in any way at all. Don't give them what they want and don't give them what they expect when they behave this way. When the narcissist realizes they're not breaking your heart, they're gonna try something different, something new. And while this will not solve your narcissist problem, it will certainly stop them from enacting the silent treatment for long. All right, now this brings me to the question of the day.
Question of the day. And the question of the day is,
have you ever had to deal with a narcissist using the stonewall or silent treatment against you?
Have you had a narcissist disappear on you before, pull the vanishing act? And if so, how did it feel to you and how did it turn out?
What did you do to cope?
And what advice would you offer our fellow survivors who are also going through a similar situation? Share your thoughts, share your ideas, share your experiences
in the comment section below, and let's talk about it. As always, thank you so much for being a part of my day and a part of my life. And hey, thanks for letting me be a part of yours. It really does mean a lot to me. Now, before I go, make sure you take a look at the videos I'm leaving for you here and here. And while you're here, hit that subscribe button so we can stay connected and continue on this healing journey together. I'll see you soon.